Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany. I'm Cynthia Pooler, and my guest today is Kenny Bruce. And Kenny is here to share his thoughts on the school board and the recent rash of violence in the city of Albany. So, Kenny, how are you?
Good morning, Cynthia. I'm well, thank you. It's nice to be here with you. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak to Albany.
So let's start off with your thoughts on what's going on the school board. Are you happy with what you see and what you hear or what you witness?
Right. Well, it's hard for me to be happy since we just had an election about 2 months ago, and there were four candidates, and I was the one candidate who was not elected. So no, I'm not happy about that aspect of it. My platform and the things I've suggested is an increase in accountability and transparency, and I've highlighted some ways specifically that I believe the school board has disappointed the citizens of Albany and has not acted within their appropriate authority and has created environments that money was wasted, but more importantly have created unsafe environments within the school district by some of their recent actions. So I'm not happy with that in general. And it also feels like Albany is a microcosm of what's going on a national and international level as well.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
One of the things that you just said was that money is wasted. And Albany is in financial straits. Is there any oversight to how the money is being spent?
Well, so the school district operates as an independent authority, and the primary oversight is actually provided by the school board itself. If there are, you know, gross negligence or illegal acts, then they actually there are other government entities that can step in and act. But for the most part, the school board has the authority to designate how it's a 250 plus million budget is spent. And, you know, at times I feel like there's been some very poor decision making, and it's usually always related to something, some issue that involves loyalty, some issue that involves something beyond trying to maximize use of taxpayer dollars. I guess the most important thing that's going on in the school district at the moment was the graduation. And at the graduation, and I wasn't there at the graduation, but estimates have suggested that anywhere from 50 to 80% of the students actually stood up and turned their back when Sue Adler, the school board president, rose to speak. The Times Union described it as the majority, so I guess that would be over 50%, and some people who were there told me it was closer to 70 or 80% of the students. And the backdrop of that is that there was a situation that involved Ms. Adler's son through the year where he was accused of harassment and violent threats towards several other students and was not appropriately disciplined and then did not adhere to the discipline plan that was actually provided to him. The students felt like it was unfair to the rest of the student body, and in particular the students who were involved in music as a class and also music as extracurriculars, that's the singing groups and some of the musical groups. So it had been an ongoing issue throughout the year in that Mr. Adler received preferential treatment based on the fact that his mother was president of the school board, My understanding is that the student body requested that she not speak at the graduation by providing her with, by providing the school board with a petition that requested that she not speak. She decided to speak anyway, which was just, you know, further insult to injury. And I'm very proud to say that the students acted, you know, in a nonviolent, very, very quiet protest by standing and turning their backs to her. The school district's response, the high school principal actually admonished the protest and suggested that all the students should sit down immediately, which would, you know, run contrary to their First Amendment rights of freedom of speech. And as time went on, I guess my understanding is she stepped back from that. The school board president continued, and the protest to a certain extent continued as well. I mean, this is actually, I spoke to the school board about this issue last fall at a time when they were trying to cover it up, and nothing was done. The school board president in this particular situation, initially as a student issue, she wouldn't be involved. It would just be the staff of the school itself. He was a student at Albany High School. But once it got into being a broader issue, she should have actually not been involved in the decision-making. And the school board itself is complicit in not acting and actually creating a situation where she wouldn't be part of the decision-making process. So I don't want to go into...
Did you find the whole episode shocking?
I won't say I was shocked. I was not surprised in the way the school board handled it. It's actually in line with the way they handle a lot of things. I was very disappointed in the way it was handled. Often there's preferential treatment provided in specific situations to specific people for whatever reasons. The fact that he received preferential treatment based on his mother being the president of the school board is not so surprising to me. I guess it's surprising that so many people were complicit in it. I mean, ultimately the board is responsible for what transpires within the school district and the board as a unit, not one particular person. So they should have stepped in and actually, you know, prevented her from being overly involved. The principal of the high school, who I understand this happened, the initial allegations were brought during the spring of 2017. At that point, Ms. Ghetto, who was the principal of the high school, planned on retiring. She was convinced to return. I think there may have been some basis for her return around this particular situation. That also was the conclusion of the superintendent search. You could argue that this situation may have impacted the superintendent search. Dale Ghetto, when she finally did resign, which was around January of 2018, the number two person at Albany High School was promoted. The general plan had been to search for a high school principal who actually had a background and experience that they could bring to bear on our particular situation at the high school. It's been quite unsuccessful. So rather than do that, they decided to continue along the same lines. The superintendent search was going on around that time, and you know, I would argue that actually Ms. Sadler's situation with her son could have had an impact on that. The allegations against me were going on around that time as well, and since I have a personal bias on that, I won't really reference that. And what else? The general counsel, who should have been involved in a fair and honest investigation, actually received and what the equivalent of a 25% raise 1 year after he had answered an RFP. So arguably that was a very non-standard time to receive an increase in pay. So there are a lot of implications really related to this particular situation that are somewhat questionable. I can't say with the fact that they actually had an impact, but they definitely happened around the same time frame. I'd like to add further that Ms. Adams, the superintendent, recently received a 2-year extension, meaning she has 4 more years left to serve here in Albany, which again is a very unusual set of circumstances in that there have been no public enunciation of our performance results, our academic performance results, which we should get shortly. And there's a chance the board received them already, but it's very unusual to actually provide an extension to someone whose job should be based on results before you actually receive the results. So in my mind, there's a lot of questionable things going on within the school district that are puzzling, that have not provided, the community has not been provided with full accountability and transparency. And that's too bad. It's a big budget, and it's 65% of every taxpayer dollar. And it seemingly is spent on the whim of the school board and based, I would argue, on loyalty to particular people based on particular actions and particular situations. And it feels to me like a lot of it lately is based on the actions of Ms. Adler's son and protecting him.
You said just a few minutes ago that you feel that what's going on is a microcosm of society at large. Can you explain that a little bit?
Right. Well, I feel like what we're seeing in national relations and international relations with our president is troubling to many, myself included. It feels like politics has become an area where there isn't mutual respect. Standard methods of accountability are ignored. There's a lack of transparency around decision-making. Decisions that have been fairly consistent over many years have actually been reversed. And I think most importantly, what I was referencing is the lack of respect. So the respect that one used to have for the executive branch has to be questioned. And I feel like that, that is actually true here in the city of Albany. And there are a couple examples within the school district. The school district was planning on making Arbor Hills Elementary School a middle school, which would have been detrimental for that population of families in a substantial way. And if not for a Times Union article and the action of some very activist parents, that potentially would have happened behind the scenes under the radar. So luckily, I think a final decision has not been made, but I believe that the community was able to stem that decision, which would have shown an utter lack of respect and transparency by the school board. I think the other thing is Kathy Sheehan's sewage treatment plant, which she wants to put in a public park, Lincoln Park, within 100 yards of Toast, which is an elementary school in the park. The sewage treatment plant would also be within a quarter mile of Hackett. And when I say a quarter mile, it's probably, 500 yards or so from Hackett Middle School. That's a substantial amount of students who would have to be next to Kathy Sheehan's sewage treatment plant on a daily basis. And again, I feel like that decision was made with very little transparency and with very little respect for the community. It basically was presented as a done deal. And from the time it was presented till the time they asked for state waivers to actually alienate the land was maybe 2 months. So there's a lot going on in locally that I think mimics what's going on nationally. The other thing was the billing of the Poor People's Campaign for safety measures that the city took on a particular day, $1,500. Mm-hmm. You know, you can think what you want about that, but it felt a little bit out of place at a time when people are campaigning for the rights and changes necessary to actually have a positive impact on poor people. The city's billing them for actually exercising their First Amendment rights. So anyway, this lack of respect, I believe, and lack of accountability generates a hopelessness, I think, within, you know, a portion of our city residents. And sad to say, I think the result sometimes is not feeling as responsible for your actions as one should. And I don't want to fully tie, you know, the recent spate of violence to any of these particular issues, but it does feel like the lack of respect and the hopelessness and the feeling that you're an outsider may have some broad-based impact on what's going on here. And I think the other thing is, if you take a school district like Albany's that has had a graduation rate in the area of 50% for you know, a generation plus, then there's a lack of opportunity for a certain segment of our population that, you know, adds to the hopelessness. I mean, it's hard to get a job without a high school education, and 50% of Albany's population over many, many years do not have a high school degree, or a high school diploma, rather. Sorry about that. So that I believe adds to the situation. If you don't have the skill in the background to get a job, then you find alternatives in less legal ways of making money, which can be problematic.
So you think that's one of the root causes to the violence that's going on now?
Yes, I think one of the root causes of the violence in Albany is a lack of opportunity for a segment of our population that leads to a frustration, and it also leads to employment, if you could call it that, and alternative means of making money. I wouldn't call it employment, but and I believe I can't help but believe that some of the recent shootings and violence are related to illicit activity. I mean, and again, I feel like it's the school district is at the center of a lot of things that happen in Albany. It's a primary employer, so it creates opportunity in and of itself. Although a lot of the employees are actually from outside the city, it's the primary place.
Kenny?
where yes.
I had lost you for a second.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry about that. It's
no,
the primary
okay.
place where poor people or economically challenged people would go to potentially get an education. And it's, you know, it has disappointed in its results. And the argument is that it's really hard to educate poor people, which it really is hard to educate poor people. But the public school system was actually created with the primary goal of educating poor people. So that's been its history throughout America. Albany has one of the oldest public school systems in the country. I believe we were second or third in terms of starting a public school system. And
wow.
At one point, we actually did a great job educating our population, but now we've decided that there are a lot of reasons why we cannot educate our population, and the school board has determined that that's acceptable. In my mind, hiring a new superintendent would actually revolve around improving the performance of the schools and the results of our students. And until you see those results, I can't imagine why you would extend a contract before you've seen results. The city is now committed to 4 years of a superintendent, which we've seen no results from her performance yet.
There's a number of governing bodies in the city of Albany. There's the Common Council, the County Legislature, and I would include one of them, the school board. How well informed are the people in the city of Albany? How well informed are they about the school board, what's going on, and what decisions are made? On a percentage basis, what would you say?
I actually believe they're not very well informed. As you mentioned, there's the Common Council and the County Legislature, and they both have the Times Union devotes resources to covering what transpires in those entities much better than it covers what transpires in the school district. There was a period of about 6 months where they actually did a good job of covering the school district and talking about the decisions that were being made that impact our community. Again, 65% of every 65 cents of every tax dollar in Albany goes to the school district, and it is not covered effectively. And the decisions that are made are long term, are decisions that have long term impact on the city. The decision to sell Philip Livingston Middle School, I guess about 10 years ago now, or maybe more like 14 years ago now, actually has had a significant impact on that side of the city. Needing middle school space has had a significant impact. The education that we've been that the school district has provided in buildings that are not well suited for a larger population of middle school students is disappointing. Last year at West Hill Middle School, there were two students who operated who actually qualified as being proficient at grade level in mathematics. That's in the whole school last year. I would argue that part of that was being taught in a building that wasn't well suited for a larger middle school format. And when I say last year, I'm talking about 16-17. In 17-18, the building was, or that population was moved to a different building, 50 North Lark, which is Edmund O'Neill Middle School. And the results over this past year are not yet available. So I'm curious to see that. So the decisions that the school district makes have a lasting impact. The school district has the ability, I believe, to at least come out with a resolution that suggests that they would be opposed to a sewage treatment plant within 100 yards of a school. But I don't believe the school district is going to do that. The decisions the school board makes has lasting implications on the city of Albany. And until the school district can turn this situation around and begin to educate more of Albany's children, Albany can never really be a great city. It starts and it begins with an investment in your youth, an investment in your students, and providing them with skills to be contributing citizens. And for far too long, Albany has allowed the school district to falter.
You said just recently that you were born and raised in Albany, and you were lucky enough to go to an Ivy League college. What makes you different than the other people in Albany?
Well, you know, I don't think I'm any different. I think I just was able to be successful based on support from my family and a little luck. So, yeah, I grew up on 2nd Street, right near Swan Street, and attended St. Joseph's Academy for elementary school. It's now, that building is now the barn in Arbor Hill. You know, my sister was a Albany public school teacher, and my mother was a teacher's assistant in Albany public schools, and all my family went to Albany public schools, and they just decided that education was important at an early age. I really enjoyed learning. I didn't enjoy school so much, but I enjoyed learning. And I was a gifted athlete, so it provided lots of opportunities for me. As you mentioned, I attended Princeton and graduated from Princeton uh-huh. University. So
mm-hmm.
I'm very proud
mm-hmm.
of that. Mm-hmm.
Right. So you had mentioned in the course of our conversation that there's a lack of transparency as far as the school board is concerned, and you seem to be very willing to share your thoughts and enlighten people as to what is going on. So I'd like to invite you on from time to time to talk about the school board in Albany, how it's affecting the city, and how it's affecting the children who are going to school. Would that be something you'd like to do?
Definitely. And I'm available. Could I just say one more thing before we get off?
Of course.
The students protested at graduation. That was a huge statement on their part, and it's a huge statement by the community, by our young people. And as far as I know, the school district has not responded to their protest. They've not issued a statement. They had a board meeting. Nothing was said by the superintendent. Nothing was said by the school board. I really believe they shouldn't just sweep this situation under the rug, and some statement or some explanation should be provided to the community around, you know, what transpired and why. So I did want to get that in, and that's, you know, in terms of transparency and accountability, that's something that the community really deserves, and that the school district should provide. So.
Great.
And, thank you again for having me. I always enjoy speaking with you, and I enjoy the opportunity to share my opinion with Albany. Thank you.
Great. So we'll talk again. Thank you, Kenny. You've been listening to Kenny Bruce, who has been talking about the school board and the problems that the school board encounters as of right now. So you've been listening to Focus on Albany. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany. Kenny, thanks for the conversation. We'll talk again, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.
Thank you, Cynthia. All right, bye-bye.